Well, let's bow in God's presence and seek his help as we come to his word. Father, we know that we're not capable of ourselves either to preach or hear your word effectively. And so we look now to you and pray that by your Spirit you will help us so that we may clearly receive what your word has to say to us, and may the Holy Spirit bring it to life for us. We don't want just a dull theoretical look at your teaching, but to feel its power in our hearts, shaping our lives for days to come. And so help us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I don't know whether you spotted one particular word that came up in every hymn we sang and several times in our reading as well. I'm almost tempted to wait and see if anyone can answer. Is that acceptable? Esther. Sorry?
Name.
That's right, the word name. And in the reading, three times Jesus spoke about the way that we pray in his name. And so we sang, to the name of our salvation, name of Jesus, highest name, and how sweet the name of Jesus sounds. And the question that I want us to think about this evening is, why do we pray in the name of Jesus Christ? We've done that several times this evening, haven't we? Each of us who's prayed has finished with the words, in the name of Jesus, amen, or something along those lines. And you may know, or you may not, that I spent 10 years working for the Lord in China, and one thing I noticed there was, whereas we tend to just join in the amen, there they all join in when they get to, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen, which I think is quite helpful to remind everybody that that's how we pray. But why? Why do we pray like that? Well, there are actually seven times in the New Testament where we're told that we either pray or, in one instance, give thanks in the name of Jesus. Or sometimes Jesus himself is speaking and he says, in my name. So, seven times. Let's learn seven lessons, seven reasons why we pray in the name of Jesus. And it's not going to be exactly one from each reference, because the same point comes up in two of them, and there's one reference where two points come up. So it adds up to seven anyway. So number one, we pray in the name of Jesus because he, the Son of God, has returned to his Father. Now, six of the seven references to praying in the name of Jesus actually come in John chapters 14, 15 and 16. So we look first at John chapter 14, verse 13. We'll read verses 12 and 13, where Jesus says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So we see how Jesus says, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. But just before that, he said, because I go to my Father. And although that relates back to his comment about doing greater works than he did, it leads on into that next statement. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. The Son has returned to the Father. And that's why we pray in his name. Now, Jesus speaks there about us doing greater works than he did. That sounds pretty striking, doesn't it? Does he really mean that? Well, what's he talking about? Probably one of the things he has in mind is that he's going to send his disciples out to preach the gospel, and people are going to be converted, and then they'll go out and share the good news with others, and more people will be converted. And then he'll go on, and generation to generation, his people will be sharing the good news, doing the work of telling the world of the wonderful salvation that's available in the Lord Jesus. And the numbers who'll be brought to him will be far greater than the numbers who congregated around him during those 3 years he was here on earth, where he had just 12 close disciples and a wider circle that was fairly significant, but nothing in comparison to the millions who've been saved through the centuries. So, in that sense, the church has done greater works than Jesus. Sometimes when Jesus spoke about his works, he was talking about his obedience to his Father. And that's a work that we're all called to follow his example in, isn't it? Obeying our Heavenly Father. And again, because the numbers who follow Jesus have grown so fantastically over the centuries, the numbers now seeking to obey the Heavenly Father are so much greater than when it was just him and a few close followers. Sometimes, of course, when he speaks of his works, he's talking about his miracles. And we don't want to get into a debate about what miracles we can do today, but we still believe, don't we, in a God of miracles. And sometimes when we pray, God answers in a miraculous way. Haven't we discovered that? And because, again, his church has expanded. Far more can be done in his name than when he was just doing it himself for 3 short years here on earth. But he goes on to say, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. Because he wants to remind us that we can't do these greater works just because we're so good. We can't conjure up the power to be able to do it. We've got to ask in his name. And he has gone to the Father, as he said at the end of verse 12. And he's there, sitting at the Father's right hand, mediating as the intercessor for us. And our prayers, like everything else about us, have no power in themselves. It's because the Lord Jesus catches them up, as it were, and passes them on to his Father that our prayers are effective and we're able to do these greater works. And so we look, as it were, to heaven as we pray, and in the eye of our mind we see the Son sitting at the Father's right hand, interceding for us. And we pray in his name, because we know that way he will make our prayers effective. So, how wonderful that when we pray, we don't have to be hopeless and think it's just a waste of time, just going through some motions, just words. No, when we pray in the name of Jesus, it's his power that brings our prayers to the Father. And he says, I'll do what you ask. Now, he's not there giving us sort of carte blanche. You can ask for absolutely anything you want and you get it. Saying we pray in his name puts a bit of a check on that, doesn't it? Some things we'd be very embarrassed to ask in his name. But if we genuinely and conscientiously can ask in his name, then we can be confident that our prayers will be heard and will be answered. But notice in the very next verse, verse 14, Jesus says again, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And I want to link that with the end of the previous verse, where Jesus says that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So here's a second reason why we pray in the name of Jesus. It's because that way we glorify the Father. Now, back in the previous chapter, when Jesus began this fairly lengthy section where he's speaking to his disciples shortly before he goes to the cross, verse 31 of chapter 13, Jesus says, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately. Now the cross is looming, but Jesus says that as he goes to the cross, he's going to glorify his Father, because that's the main work that the Father sent him into the world to do, to die on the cross, to carry the can for the sins of the world, for your sins, my sins, to take the punishment so that we can be forgiven and can know him as our Saviour and know God as our Father. And we pray in the name of Jesus because we recognise there's no other way that we can come to the Father except by the fact that the Son glorified the Father by his obedience even unto death. And so when we pray in his name, we too share in that glorifying of the Father. The Apostle Peter, in his first letter, makes a similar comment when he has given a list of gifts that we exercise within the fellowship of the church, and then sums up like this: if anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Christ Jesus, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So God is glorified in the Lord Jesus still. He was glorified in his death on the cross. He's glorified in the service that's offered in his name amongst his people. And we pray in his name because we recognise that glorifies the Father. Then a third reason is that we pray in the name of Jesus because this is one of the things we were chosen and appointed for. Listen to what Jesus says in John chapter 15 and verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. So Jesus says here that we've been chosen and appointed to go, to bear fruit. Fruit that will remain, and that we ask in his name and receive what we ask for. And that list of things, in a sense, is on a sort of ascending scale. We go, we bear fruit, the fruit remains, we ask in his name and receive. And so the climax of that for which we're chosen and appointed is to ask the Father in the name of the Son for that fruit to remain, for his help and his grace in everything that we need and that we seek to do in that name. Now, if an employee is appointed for a particular task and ducks that responsibility and shirks duty and spends time doing other things, they'll get into trouble, might be dismissed. And this is what we're appointed for, to pray in the name of Jesus that there might be fruit from his work throughout the world. So what a privilege to have that share in his work. And then staying in that verse, but combining with it one of the verses that we read in our reading from John chapter 16, a fourth reason why we pray in the name of Jesus is that it opens the door to our receiving gifts from God. So there in chapter 15, verse 16, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. And chapter 16, verse 23 says more or less the same thing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Isn't that a wonderful thing about God? He's the great giver. If that wasn't true, we wouldn't be here. We've only got life because he's given it to us. We've only got through this day because that's God's gift. Everything we have, everything we enjoy, everything we need, God gives. And the greatest gift, of course, is the gift of his Son and the gift of the salvation that the Lord Jesus brings. And what a wonderful thing that a God who gives responds to our requests. And the condition, if you like, for that response is that we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now in chapter 15, verse 16, it says, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Jesus doesn't mean there he may give you or he may not. He might, but he might decide not to. He's just saying, ask so that he may do it. And he confirms what he means in verse 23 of the next chapter. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. No doubt about it. As long as it's in his name. As long as we can, in all honesty, ask in his name. He will give. But we must fulfill the condition and pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Just as maybe we set conditions for our children sometimes, don't we? And say, you can have the bag of Haribos if you tidy your room. And here the Lord Jesus says, my Father will give you what you ask for, if you pray in my name, reminding us that we need him as the mediator between ourselves and our Heavenly Father. Here's a fifth reason why we pray in the name of Jesus, because that way our joy will be full. That's the next verse in chapter 16. Until now you've asked nothing in my name, verse 24 I mean, ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. Now, we read this passage and the context in which Jesus says that is he's just been talking about the sorrows of life in this world, especially for his followers. Compares it with the pain of a woman in labour. And Jesus faces up realistically to the fact that now you have sorrow. And when Tim was praying, he highlighted some of the sorrows in your fellowship. And we can look around the churches we know, and there'll be sorrows of various kinds. Jesus is probably thinking, partly at least, maybe mainly, of the sorrow that comes from being persecuted because of following him. And how many of our brothers and sisters around the world know the reality of that today? But there are all sorts of sorrows that come the way of God's people. But Jesus is saying, even in the midst of sorrow, you can know joy when you pray in his name. And we do that because we know him
And we've experienced the wonder of his salvation, and we know the love of a father that comes to us through the Son who is our Saviour. Now the basis for this fullness of joy that he refers to in that verse is mentioned in the previous chapter, verse 11 of chapter 15, where Jesus says, "These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." And what are these things that he's spoken to them? Well, in the verses leading up to there, he's spoken about abiding in him. He's used that picture of the vine and the branches, and how we must abide in him. And when necessary, as we bear fruit, there'll be a pruning experience, the sorrow again. But the upshot of it all is a joy that's full, which Jesus actually calls his own joy, remaining in us. And what a wonderful joy that must be, when it's the joy of Jesus, the joy that he knew in his relationship with his Father, the joy that he knew in seeking to obey his Father and fulfill his plan here on earth. And we're invited to share in that joy as we pray in the name of Jesus. So there's a great incentive for praying in his name. Then there's a sixth reason, still here in John chapter 16. It's that our love, that praying in the name of Jesus proves our love for Jesus and our faith in him. Listen to what Jesus says in verses 26 and 27. "In that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God." Now, going back to the first time that Jesus spoke about praying in his name, he referred to his going to the Father. Now here he talks about the fact that he came from the Father. And in coming from the Father, he brought the love of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, into this world in almost tangible form. We could see it lived out in the life of the Son of God. And we can enter into that love through the Lord Jesus. And Jesus says here that there's a reason why the Father loves us. And if I can put it like this, there's a condition that we have to fulfill in order for the Father to love us. And that's that we love Jesus and believe that he came forth from God. And Jesus says at the beginning of that verse 4, "Well, because the Father loves you." That's the reason why we pray in his name. He loves us. And as we pray in his Jesus' name, it proves that we love him, and the Father is delighted when he sees people loving the Son of his love. And so the vital importance there of loving the Lord Jesus and believing that he came forth from God is stressed. Now, just in case there's anybody here, I don't know you all, I don't know whether there might be someone who doesn't yet have that love for the Lord Jesus. Maybe you haven't yet fully believed that he came forth from God. You've got some understanding of his life and what he did, but this is the big thing, that the Father sent the Son into the world out of love for sinners like us. And Jesus on the cross took the guilt of our sin into himself and faced the judgment we deserve, so that
our sins can be forgiven. And what that means is God puts them out of his mind. He removes them from his sight, and he looks upon us now as clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. And when we realise that that's what the Lord Jesus came forth from the Father to do, when we truly believe that, then aren't we going to love him for doing so much for us, for doing the greatest thing that we needed to be done? And when we respond like that to the one the Father loves, then we find the Father loves us too. And we enter into the joy and the experience of that love. And so we pray in the name of Jesus, because that confirms our love for him and the faith that we have that he truly did come forth from God to be our Saviour. So we've looked at the six occasions when Jesus spoke about praying in his name. There's one more, and this comes from the writing of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So as well as bringing our requests in the name of the Lord Jesus, we also give thanks, and that way we recognise that all the good we enjoy that comes from the Father comes to us via the Son. He's the go-between in both directions. We pray through him, and he is the channel of God's blessing into this world. So therefore we give thanks through him as well. But notice that phrase giving thanks at the beginning of verse 20 is the third of a series of things where you've got the word finishing with ing. We've got speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Actually, it's four times, isn't it? Because you've got making as well. But singing and making melody is one thing. And giving thanks always for all things is the third of that series of things that we do. But when do we do it? Well, the previous verse says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking, singing, giving thanks. It's an expression of the fullness of the Spirit when we give thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the previous verse, the Apostle, in verse 17, says, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Oh, it's very unwise to think we can pray and give thanks any other way than in the name of the Lord Jesus. We've got to understand that that's the way we pray for these various reasons that I've tried to highlight. And this is the final one. It shows our true spiritual understanding when we give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. It shows us that we've embraced the truth that Jesus is the one through whom everything we need comes to us. The one through whom the gifts of God are poured out upon us. The one who was sent to save us from our sins. So, praying in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks in his name, is a great privilege. And it honours him as the one who mediates for us between the Father who loves us and us in our weakness, and as forgiven sinners, we never forget that we're nonetheless sinners. And so we need a Saviour, we need Jesus, the only way into the holy presence, even of a loving Heavenly Father, is through the Saviour. So let's pray in his name, as I'm sure we do. But see the point of it. and rejoice in these great privileges and the wonderful promises that are tied up with the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we want to give you thanks right now for your word and for all the good gifts that come our way through the Lord Jesus Christ, most especially the gift of salvation. And we pray that as we make it our habit to pray constantly in his name, that that very fact will underline for us the wonder and the privilege and the joy of all that we have in him. And we do praise you that, as he said, no one comes to the Father but by me. But thank you, when we come that way, there's an open door of welcome into our Father's heart, and in that we rejoice. And we pray that you'll write your word upon our hearts, and according to our need, may the Holy Spirit apply it, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's sing as we close, number 181. There is a name I love to hear. 181.